All right. Okay, I'm going to count this number of people on this list. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. All right, so now who's going to do the math and figure out what 25 is? Pardon me? 25 into 60. 25 into 60.
2 minutes sounds good.
2 minutes. Okay. All right. The first person on the list is Chandra Houtman.
I want to speak to the audience and the PNB. There's enough people to talk about KPFA issues. So I want to say to the BAIers here that BAI is not yours alone to worry about and to be concerned about. BAI belongs to the network. We're all concerned about its survival, and therefore we all have a vested interest in what happens there. To Nia, about openness and transparency, why didn't the interim executive director tell BAI general manager that they were coming to BAI? Why didn't the BAI general manager tell the IED and the PNB that the station was in 3 months in arrears and that the landlord was threatening to lock them out of the building, which necessitated them flying out there and taking some corrective action? So communication works two ways. To Leslie Radford, who's donating to BAI, I really appreciate your donation. Thank you. But I'm sure KPFK could really use your money as well and your additional funds. There are over 10 million people in the New York Tri-State listening area. If they can't find enough progressive listeners there, then they need to address programming issues that talk to those progressive listeners, so that they will get better quality donations and stop attacking each other on the air. In terms of people complaining about the Vista Hotel, well, what do you want? It's non-union. That's where people are staying. There were many of us in Berkeley that offered free housing. If you had taken us up on it, a lot of you did. Thank you for those that did, saving the foundation money. Those that stayed in the Vista, we can't help that because the foundation has to pay. In terms of the PNB vilifying Grace Aaron, there seems to be one person per PNB meeting that those detractors go after. First it was Carol Spooner, then it was Patty Heffley, then it was Greg Guma, and now Grace Aaron. This seems to deflect people from the real issues by finding somebody the scapegoat. That's really unfortunate, and it's very un-Pacifican.
Okay. I'm going to read off the next three people so you can line up.
A personal privilege. Yeah. I wonder if this gentleman could let the video do it without him being there.
Yeah, please. It's disrupting the view of the board of the public speakers. It's Sally Summer, Soraya Sayada.
Thank you.
And John Doe. So Sally's first.
This is an invitation. An invitation. It's not loud enough?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Continue.
An invitation. The Coalition for Democratic Pacifica here, which was formed during 10 years ago, during the takeover and occupation of KPFA, we're sponsoring 60th anniversary party this Monday night. Everyone is invited. Yes. And there will be very short presentations on vision, election, financial report, programming, and Grace Aaron has agreed to give us a PNB short PNB report. So I'd like to invite everyone here and anyone connected with Pacifica and any of the other stations. It's at Cedar and Bin. I said, 60th anniversary party. That's what the main event is. It's at Cedar and Bonita at the Unitarian Universalist church there, but we'll have some more of these tomorrow, right, Chandra? Yeah. We'll bring a bunch of flowers.
Thank you. Next is Soraya Sayadi.
Hello. Thank you for all of you being here. And I'm surprised that some of you are staying at hotels to save money. I had told Lim 2-3 times, sent her email to send me the list. 2 people could stay with me. They never did that because they're afraid people are going to be brainwashed. And this is the ideology going around KPFA. It's very childish. And they are really, I mean, I have never been on such a board before. And LSB is becoming nothing. The 1 year and a half I've been on here, all the votes are going with concerned listeners. And they want to minimize the listener-sponsored people who were elected like me. Now we have only 6 meetings, so they could, you know, delay things, and there's no voice left. That's on that part. And programming is done. They are trying to eliminate programmers and the programs they don't like, and people who've been on there 25 years, they want to keep their music going. And I have nothing against music, but there are more things in life going on in 24 hours. We can't have slates for everybody. And regarding programming evaluation, when we had programming, I was on there. They make programmers, evaluate programmers, back scratch each other, and that's how they stay on. So it's really very biased evaluation. It should be listeners evaluating programming, not programmers to programmers, and that's what's happening. And I hope things are changing, and a few of the motions you guys passed, I'm very hopeful about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is John Doe.
The last PNB meeting, I wore a sandwich board that listed all the Progressive Democrat presidents and all the cities they had destroyed by aerial bombardment. Starting with the Tulsa, the black Wall Street, was aerial bombarded. And then after that, of course, you've got FDR, Truman, et cetera, et cetera. Over 3/5 of the homes in Japan were destroyed before we dropped the atomic bomb with aerial bombardment. 108 cities were more than 50% destroyed. My understanding is 3 to 7 million people were destroyed on the Korean Peninsula with B-29s under Progressive Democrats. This house was started when an Asian student didn't have any place to live. I'm sorry, my house was started. I run the Quaker Meeting House in Los Angeles. We were started as a sorority when an Asian student had nowhere to live in Los Angeles at USC. That was in the 30s. This house was started when an Asian student was said hello to by an American student, by an American man. And he quoted, he said, this Asian student in this university said, "You're the first American that's ever said hello to me." Thus we started the International House. At the last PNB meeting, Ken Aaron approached me, asked me about my sandwich board, and spent a good 5 minutes reaming the Asians. They needed to be dead, was his quote. He had many quotes about the world could use a lot fewer Asians. I trust this is going out on our air. Ken Aaron made most of his money in the real estate business, a very ugly business, and the company he was working for is a very ugly company. I trust this is going out on the air.
Okay. Next, the next few people are Lou Hill, Ruth Ann Shipner, Daniel Borgstrom, and Serene Roberts. Lou Hill? Is there, okay, maybe there isn't a, okay, here we go.
I will answer for him, and I'll answer in the name of my ancestors, both white, black, and all complexion. I will answer in the name of those of us who are human beings on this earth. And, you know, even though I feel like I am residing in a bad Star Wars Lucas film series at this Pacifica board meeting, there are some issues that are serious and need to be addressed that are coming from this board. And it's, again, the Sith is ruling and confusion reign in the universe, and some clarity must come. And I think that clarity will come when the people have a chance to see what's going on, and maybe we can make another stand to reclaim this network for the folks out there who are listening, who are poor, who have minimum wage jobs, who cannot afford to make great contributions to WBAI or the rest of Pacifica. Maybe we will get to the point where we will have a national board that has the stature to raise funds to support the network, and they won't treat us like a plantation where they continue to take our hard-earned money and do with it what we don't know. Maybe we'll reach a stage where we'll open up the books of Pacifica so that all can see where their money is going. Maybe we'll reach a point in Pacifica when the programs respect the opinions of all people, that it can be a place where we exchange ideas and human understanding can be what it is, that we can understand and share music, that we can have Malcolm X, that we can have Marcus Garvey, that we can have Denmark Vesey, that we can have all the great voices living on our air, that Hugo Chavez will have a home, that Fidel Castro can be heard in our radio station, where Eva Morales can be played across the network, where, you know, and we can just go on with all the great voices that have come and have been with us over the years. When it comes to fundraisers,
okay, we that's need, time.
When it comes to fundraiser in Pacifica, we need to acknowledge those people who have raised the funds over the years, who have done the work, who have programmed for year in and year out. And when they become ill, that we don't kick them out, that we understand that if you don't understand white supremacy, then everything else will confuse you in Pacifica. And when you have programmers that you can come and you can malign for years and years and years, and then after you have maligned these people, then suddenly you are the victims. And the victimizers, suddenly the victimizers, suddenly the victimizers are the victims. Suddenly the victimizers are the victim. Lou Gale, come back.
Turn off the mic.
Next.
So much for showboating.
The next person is Ruth Ann Schiffner.
Roseanne Shipman.
Ruth Ann Schiffner. Yes, we hear you.
Okay.
A little louder.
I'm going to try. There you go. That's good. That 5 weeks, 5 weeks ago, this coming Wednesday, the executive director, Grace Arend, sent a directive to KPFA's general manager, in part, further, as it is lawful and proper for KPFA to give UPSO not only the names, but also the addresses of and any other contact information for said unpaid staff, I am requesting that this information also be made available as quickly as possible. If you have any questions about this, please read California Corporations Code, Section 6330. Please disregard all earlier instructions I have given that contradict the above. Also, please copy me in on any correspondence regarding this matter, including the actual names and contact information you give to UPSO. Thank you for your prompt attention to this matter. Any hesitation to comply could result in legal liability for the foundation. I'm bringing that up because our general manager has been delaying for the 4.5 weeks that I mentioned, and citing UPSO and LSB bylaws, and doesn't seem to understand that California law trumps that and that that has no basis. I think it's delay tactics. I personally have copied in the PMB and all this correspondence. I would like some action to be taken
towards the general manager that says, you've got to do as we've instructed, otherwise there is liability for the corporation.
Thank you, Roseanne. Next is Daniel Borgstrom.
I'm Daniel Borgstrom, KPFA listener. I live here in the Bay Area, and I just want to thank you for a very hopeful, very good meeting. I'm actually a rare thing, about the first time. You know, in the past, I've been attending LSB meetings here in the Bay Area, and sometimes writing reports, and these reports are very depressing. People look at them and say, yeah, it's interesting, but it's depressing. The news is awful. Yeah. And now this has been a meeting. This PNB meeting here has been a meeting for which I can say good news from Pacifica. And, you know, at last, I feel that, you know, up till it just seemed very depressing, everything about Pacifica. It seemed like it was going under. And now, after listening to the last day and a half, I feel that we are on a path. Pacifica has found a path. Yes, we're still in a very dark woods, but we have found a path. And I just want to say thank you. And I feel there's at last good news from Pacifica.
Thank you, Daniel. The next speaker is Serene Roberts. And then after that, Bob Lederer, Kayu Manji, DJ Brother K, and Nick Alexander, Nick Alexander, and then Steve Seltzer.
Okay, thanks everyone, and hello.
Okay,
here we are again. A couple of quick things, and I also have a motion that I hope a member of the board will be willing to move into discussion after this section of the meeting. And my thoughts are in no particular order. We have a handpicked team brought to New York by Grace Aaron without any consultation with the New York GM about what our needs might be or when the scheduling might be appropriate. We have a report that is presented by one of the people last night that's based on limited conversation with the few people who happened to be at the station. There was no open invitation to staff to come up to meet. Ms. Aaron was asked by the unpaid staff organizing committee, were elected, five stewards, to actually meet with the stewards, to meet with the membership of USOC. She refused to do so. But we have a report from someone who served, if I understand this correctly, as a volunteer coordinator that refers to our technical capacity and our programming. I don't know what his programming background is, and none of this is personal. I'm just speaking to the procedure that the IED chooses to use. We have, I think, generally on the board a distortion of the bylaws and a sort of habitual abuse allowed by a particular member of the PNB that is allowed by whoever is chairing. That's troubling. We have a motion that passes that wants to ensure that unpaid staff aren't having too much or too little weight based on the number of hours they actually work, hours of airtime. And I know that that was temporarily put aside, but the very concept is troubling. The balance between staff and listeners on the board is determined by the bylaws. It is not for this body to decide how much is too much weight and how much is too little influence for people to have. If you guys want to revise the bylaws, there are provisions for doing that. You should do it legally. With regard to the New York LSB and its functioning, if I can call it that, we have a chair who regularly disregards Robert's rules, who disappears items from the agenda. He literally removes items just because he didn't think we'd get to it. They're usually items from the people who are not in the clique that he's not in.
You're at time.
Yeah. I can't be at time. I was interrupted before. I'd like to continue.
I started you after the interruption.
The motion that I have is with regard to the IED's performance in terms of locking out the attempt to lock people out of the...
You're at time.
I'm sorry. So which of you is actually keeping time?
I'm keeping time.
And you're her echo?
Don't answer.
With regard to the IED locking, attempting to lock down the transmitter, and the fact that those actions were highly inappropriate. So I do hope a member of the board will in fact bring that motion
because
it needs to be checked.
The next public comment is from Bob Lederer.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
May I make a comment, please?
Yes.
I'd just like to say that before this public comment started, we mathematically determined how much time we would have to give each person so that everybody would have a chance to speak. So those who take more time are taking time away from their colleagues. So please be respectful of the time.
Okay. Go ahead, Bob.
I would just like to say that this board of Pacifica is taking this foundation down a perilous path that is not only violating its existing bylaws, but is showing the utter failure of these bylaws to lead to any kind of responsible governance that's based in the communities that this network was founded in and is supposedly here to serve. There's been one action after another over the last few months that have been alarming and unwarranted and are showing that the people who are leading the board I have lost sight of what this foundation is all about. You have the incident, which has already been discussed, about the secretive changing of the locks the order to change the locks and install remote control equipment at WBAI and indeed, according to the IED, throughout the network, without any consultation, much less notice to the general manager. And the horrendous implication that has for taking programming decisions away from the local community and local management. You have the policy that the IED promulgated, again, with no consultation, no board discussion, no board approval, no discussion with the staff of the implication of a rule that absolutely restricts open on-air discussion of Pacifica policy. This is a throwback to the 90s, the gag rule in a different guise, using terms like harassment, workplace confidentiality, and personnel matters. None of these have any relationship to the examples that are cited in this memo. When board members themselves make statements that so-and-so has been terminated, then how does it make any sense to then penalize a producer and say that they will be thrown off the air if they repeat what has been said in a public meeting about the status of a member of the staff or other statements that were even more obviously having nothing to do with anything personnel.
Okay, you're at time, Bob. Thank
so
you.
Just in conclusion, I want to say that this board really needs to get back to what the purpose of this foundation is and to the communities that put you here.
Thank you. Okay, next person is DJ Brother K.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Is it possible to give them a 30-second warning so they can then know they have to wrap up?
All right, I'll give you a 10 or 15-second warning.
Greetings. Kayumangi Kaloayako. They call me DJ Brother K, member of the KPFA Reggae Collective, also the lead producer. Excuse me, I've been having a cough. Of the KPFA API, that's Asian Pacific Islander Specials production team. I'm actually coming here to raise one particular matter regarding apparent intransigence from our interim program director and our general manager and whoever else would be involved in management in dealing with our annual proposal for the Asian Pacific Heritage Month special. We feel that, like this issue with the recall of the staff representatives from KPFA, that actually we have many, many problems inside of KPFA with the current management team. There is an atmosphere of bureaucratic excuses instead of dealing with people honestly and in a transparent way. I am part of the unpaid staff organization, which the general manager tried to derecognize, and we are very distraught that the program council has also been frozen, basically, derecognized by the management. And that also shows that what they're doing is they're arrogating all authority in the programming decision-making to themselves. And the overwhelming majority of the staff are against it, evidenced by over 70 signatures. And if you think of how hard it is to organize the DJs and other staff members,
15 seconds,
including collectives, then you will have an idea of how hard it was to get 70 people to sign. Please get in touch with me if you want to know about how we have submitted everything on time over a month, not even gotten a word back. You can reach me at myspace.com/DJBrotherK. The information to reach me is also more specifically for email through our UPSO representatives. Dagang salamat, remember the lockout, and please bring it back to democratic process inside of KPFA.
Thank you. Next is Nick Alexander.
Yeah, my name is Nick Alexander. I'm a council member on the unpaid staff organization. I was also a member of the KPFA People of Color Coalition during the lockout in 99. And I would like to say that I feel that we're on lockdown now at KPFA, that the same kind of authoritarian methods of rule are coming back to Pacifica at KPFA. Shortly after Nadra Foster, an unpaid representative, was brutally arrested at KPFA, the IGM suggested we should have a healing meeting. As soon as she became permanent, that fell off the radar. I would say that we should have that healing meeting so we can frankly address very serious issues at KPFA. One of them has just been mentioned, reinstate program council. Come into compliance with KPFK and KPFT and allow community and staff input to be democratically considered in programming decisions. Otherwise, you create situations of hostility and an unwelcome work environment. The third thing I would like to recommend is not limiting the participation of collectives in the voting process, that to have four amongst the larger collectives only to be allowed to vote would disenfranchise diverse collectives such as La Onda Baita, such as the API Specialist Collective and other collectives. And I think that this would be a reinforcement of the tendencies we see towards authoritarianism at KPFA. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, the next people are Nick Alexander, Steve Zeltzer, Les Radke. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. That's right. I'm sorry. Steve Zeltzer, then Les Radke, Anthony Fest, and Max Blanchet.
Yeah, Steve Zeltzer, and I was with the Labor Collective, which was banned with the support of Tracy Rosenberg from submitting even program proposals to the program council at KPFA. And some of the same people who are now criticizing Sherry Gendelman supported the same tactics. We should be aware of that history. The point I wanted to make at the last PNB board meeting, there was a talk about a collaborative relationship and working together, but apparently what went on in New York was not collaborative, that the New York manager was not informed about what was going to take place. Whether or not he informed the interim executive director is not the point. The point is it was a responsibility of the interim executive director to let that person know what was going on. But the thing that I think is very important at this point is that there was a 3-year strategic plan that was presented at the last board meeting, and everyone apparently had unanimous support with some exceptions to that plan. That plan is being carried out. There's strip programming at KPFA. Programmers are being brought in, Doug Henwood, Shanali, and local programmers are being replaced. At the same time, a news program, KPFA LA KPFK program, has been brought in, replacing a lot more local news programming without consultation or collaboration with the community programmers. I think that's the wrong way to go. I think we need a community network where the community producers are collaborating together to do national programming instead of a top-down approach with the managers deciding what goes on at the various stations. And I think that was jointly supported, by the way, by Sherry Gendelman and and Grace Aaron. They both supported this program, and people need to study this because it's the, in my view, the corporatization of Pacifica that needs to be addressed. I think that the question of, I support the reestablishment of the program council.
15 seconds.
I support that there be an unpaid staff organization be recognized. The manager refused to do that, even though you and the local board have voted that she do that. Lastly, there's going to be an AFL-CIO convention in September. We need national labor programming. We need a labor collectives at all the stations doing programming for working people in this country. There are millions of people out of work.
Okay,
there are struggles
time.
Going on, and we need to have that programming on nationally. Thank you.
Thank you. Les Radke.
Dear comrade. Pacifica is, I'm really pleased that everybody, that as many people are here as are here, and I'm also pleased that Pacifica exists because I think our tasks right now are much greater than they were under the Bush administration, which was clearly, demonstrably an illegitimate regime. We're now talking about a legitimate regime which is carrying on wars in Afghanistan, supporting Gaza bombardment, et cetera.
Right.
We have a greater task, and frankly, everybody in this room, everybody who's spoken is united in the fact that we have to expand our message, that we have to expand our listenership, and we have to do this in a way that incorporates the ideas of many, many people. It seems to me one of the things that we should do is in terms of people supporting the National Board and the National Board is being very clear about the rules of engagement of how we approach this stuff. Part of the discussion, for example, about the recall at KPFA was focused on KPFA rather than general rules for the network. This is a network. That doesn't take away things from the local stations. That adds to them. It puts a set of rules so that people who have disagreements know how to carry out those fights and those struggles. So I commend you for dealing with this issue. But I would urge you, instead of thinking, for example, if there's a recall at KPFA, instead of thinking KPFA, bad, evil people, think, you know, one of your close comrades. And what would the rules be for that close comrade? Because we want the same set of rules for all stations. We don't want different rules. I just want to correct one other thing. It was stated here earlier that something like, I think it was that 50% of the votes at KPFA were from collectives, and that's not correct. I was national election supervisor and local election supervisor there. We've always followed the bylaws. There's a certain amount of time.
15 seconds.
We carried out the same rules for individuals as we did for the listeners, and that simply was not the case. And what I would urge always is thinking of the set of rules that applies to the network as a whole and then implement it for the individual station. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
The next few people are Anthony Fest, Max Blanchet, Sharam Agamir, and Don DeBar.
Good afternoon, board members. I'm Anthony Fest. I'm a newscaster at KPFA. I'm also on the KPFA LSB. I'm also a council member of the unpaid staff organization. Thank you for the productive work you've done so far this weekend. But I would like to say I hope that the idea of capping the number of collective members who can vote, I hope that idea doesn't go any farther. I don't think it's the way to go. I don't think punishing the innocent is a way to deal with any allegations of list packing. If lists are indeed being packed, the way to deal with that is to investigate it and find it and take care of it. And also, let's take a look at the bylaws. Article 3, Section B, defines the rights of staff members. And then on the very next page, we have Article 3, Section 5, which says, all members shall have all rights granted to them by law or by these bylaws, including without limit the right to vote on the terms and manner, et cetera, et cetera. Note those words, without limit. I think it's clear that trying to say that if a collective of, say, seven members could only have four votes, that you would be attempting to limit the rights of those members. And I think that's very clearly contrary to the bylaws. Staff's voting rights should not be diluted because they happen to do their work via a collective. They should be treated equally with the staff members who don't do their work via collectives. We all want clean and fair elections, and I think doing something like that would, in fact, be most demonstrably unfair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The next person is Max Planchet.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity. I've been following the news. I'm sure you've been busy. Perhaps you have not. But we have had two elections in the world, one election in South Africa, yes, with the great transparency, flawless logistics, 20 million people voting, 77% participation, and all the parties accepting the results. And then at the other end of the spectrum, we've had elections in Haiti, 11% participation, violence in one department, with apparently the party in power conniving to steal elections in some areas. Anyway, these two elections, it seems to me, frame the issue of how a proper electoral process should be conducted. And I'll be very honest and blunt with you. Looking at the last two cycles of elections at Pacifica, I'm simply appalled. And I'm Haitian, by the way, so I'm not insulting anybody here. We seem to be closer to the Haitian model than we are to the South African model. It seems to me that a place like Pacifica should be holding exemplary elections. And I'll add furthermore that our management has been simply lousy. It's unacceptable, folks. And this is linked to the money problems we are having. We don't have credibility out there any longer. We are the laughing stock of all sorts of serious people. The left, especially the left at Pacifica, should be doing better than that. And I'm tired of these shenanigans, the manipulation of electoral lists, the disappearance of ballots, the interference by corporate lawyer into the electoral process. This is unacceptable crap. Unacceptable! That's the reality of it. We people of the left should be doing better than that.
15 seconds.
That's the reality. Thank you very much. And thank you for a very good meeting. You've taken important steps, and I hope they help. Thanks.
Thank you.
Point of information, Chair. Chair, point of information. What station is this on?
KPFA. All right. Shahram Agamir.
Yes. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for being here. I know these are hard times for the whole foundation, and I don't envy your task. I commend you for taking this task seriously and doing your work. I wanted just to reiterate the comments made by, first of all, my name is Shahram Agamir, and I'm an unpaid staff programmer at KPFA, member of an unpaid staff organization. I've been with KPFA over 6 years now, and also represent the staff on the local station board. So I wanted to reiterate what's a couple of my comments and a couple of my colleagues, co-workers, Anthony Fest and Nick Alexander, said about the collectives in KPFA. I think collectives, generally speaking, from my standpoint, they form the essence of what Pacifica should be all about, in the sense that programming is done in a collaborative way, it's a collective way, as opposed to some atomized individuals standing behind the mic and, trying to fulfill some sort of a mission on their own, as opposed to having, sort of a collective decision-making and sort of collective thought process. So I think in that sense we should salute collectives as opposed to limit their rights. I think the solution of limiting the collectives into four votes is not fair, and it's not very in the sense that even if you look at how people are getting paid for programming, you'll find out that producing 1 hour of programming may take more than four people to produce, so taking the rights away is not a way to do it. I think you should be open to
15 seconds.
Okay, we'd like to engage. It should be open to ways to monitor the hours that people put into this thing, such as creating a central database and so forth. And I encourage you to consider those alternatives. Thank you.
Thank you. Don DeBar. And then John Riley, Zarina Shakir, and Brian Shiritsuki.
My name is Don DeBar. I'm an unpaid staff member at WBAI and Morning News Headlines Editor, among other things. The board's pending actions against the program director and executive director of WBAI basically puts the board is acting in concert with a group that's been in ascendance on the at the local level at WBAI over the last election cycle. They have had an agenda that has a record. There's a copy for each member of the board here of a document that was prepared in connection with one of the elections, and I apologize for the partisan tag at the top of it, but the facts of it speak for themselves. There's a board member at WBAI whose program is overtly personal and racist towards the program director at the station. I will read you some of the quotes that are in the record of the LSB from this person. This is Steve Brown. Whether our politically correct and apparently militant anti-white, anti-middle-class, anti-liberal program council or program director wants to face it or not, the station owes its financial underpinnings, its very existence, to the relatively small, continually insulted, and lately increasingly alienated group of aging white middle-class and mostly college-educated old lefty liberal types. It is hour after hour of reparations programming in the same day marked by a fitting and fleeting but multitudinous subliminal half-veiled hostility to all white people driving the agenda. These are all comments from Steve Brown. He's the quarterback of the group that is bringing the takeover of WBAI to you. Those of you who act in concert with that should know that this is what you're acting in concert with. The full details are in this document. For anyone who's interested in reading it that's listening at home, you can go to www.justiceunity.org and look up Steve Brown. The idea to me that you guys were in public session, in private session yesterday for 5 hours and want to run an egg timer for free speech radio makes me sick.
Okay. The next person is John Riley.
Hi. Yes. My name is John Riley. I'm with the Out FM Collective at WBAI New York, and Out FM produces a progressive lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender news, culture, and activist hour every week. And I wanted to talk about the proposal to limit the size of collectives. This is limiting the size of collectives to 4 votes would be in direct violation of the bylaws. And I, in order to, and as such, it would be really void of like legal effect. Additionally, it requires the entire class of voters to vote on whether or not they would do it if they were going to do a bylaws amendment. So you have a lot of work in order to do it. The other thing is that good programming takes time to produce, and we need to encourage more people to produce, not less. And collectives are one way that is inexpensive to increase the quality of the air at each of our stations. If you look at a station like WBAI, about 40 hours a week is in 40 hours a week is done by paid staff. The other 160 hour or 120 hours plus hours are done by unpaid staff. If we were to pay people to do this, you know, at doing at least, you know, 10 to 20 hours per work for every hour that's generated, we'd be talking about $1.5 million worth of a contribution to the network. Additionally, publicity. This is the one thing that people at Pacifica don't talk about. We live in a highly saturated media environment, and in order to combat that, we need to be doing things like developing web presence, doing leafleting about our shows to really mobilize the community. Every show, even music shows, need to expand. There needs to be new ways to get people in. And the other thing is training. It takes a lot of work to train people in radio. You have lots of technical issues, and you have also not just technical electronics, but technical execution, how to do an intro, et cetera. So I just urge you to completely forget about this proposal to limit the rights of the unpaid producers that make this network really great.
Thank you. Next is Zarina Shakir.
Good afternoon to everyone. My name is Zarina Shakir, and I, too, am an unpaid volunteer for Pacifica, only my position is on the local station board. I'm the chair from WPFW. I would just like to reiterate some of the things that I mentioned yesterday, that our board and WPFW, despite what one of our reps who has come here has said, our station is in the black, literally and figuratively, and we are the few, one of the few, that has that particular position. we, not that we don't have financial problems and difficulties and that we're trying to raise funds outside of pledge drives, but we are trying to maintain some financial stability. I know that at some point you're going to be dealing with the gala, much of which none of you know nothing about, and all the work that we did for almost a year to put it together without the help of one of our reps here, which I'll talk about tomorrow. I just want to say that I regret that the person that we voted for, Campbell Johnson, was not seated, and however, it is not at all lost, because we will be taking this back to our local station board, and you can rest assured that you have not heard the end of this. We complied with your ruling that you sent to us through Grace Aaron, your chair, and as a request to revisit the ballots, we did that. We brought in the Fair Vote organization. They counted what the ballots were, and they sealed them. We are not going to be dictated to and conduct a vote that mimics your idea or ideal of the person you want and not what our local station board wants. This reeks of racism.
It's time.
You do seem to have some problem with black men, not the ones here necessarily, but I do want to say I can say more later. Thank you.
Next is Brian Shirazuki.
Yes, my name is Brian, and I send you guys a lot of email. Hope you appreciate it. But I have also just another frivolous thing. It's not too serious. If you have any time left over at the end of your day tomorrow after 2 o'clock, you can walk 2 blocks down Bancroft, turn left, walk 3 blocks, and you'll find yourself at the northeast corner of People's Park, who are celebrating their 40th birthday. You won't get to see Amy Goodman or Michelle Schacht, but you'll get Wavy Gravy and Jonathan Richman. And you don't have to pay $300 if you don't want to. You know, if you have $300, I think they can find something to do with it. So that's sort of more a Chamber of Commerce thing, or if you have any time, it would be a good place to be tomorrow afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. The next person is Richard Phelps.
Good afternoon to the board and all the people here. I appreciate everybody coming. For those that don't know, I've been a listener, subscriber to KPFA for about 35 years. I worked in radio as a young man, and I've been the chair of the local board some time past. And since about 2003, I've been following all of the basic activities on the board and locally as best I can and around the network. And I want to ask everybody a question. I've heard a lot of things said today. Has anybody seen a white rabbit or a red queen coming through here? Because the history that I've heard from a lot of people is totally upside down. One of the earlier speakers, one of the more flamboyant ones, was talking about financial transparency. When the people he sent from his station to the national board, combined with the people who were coming from KPFA at that time, fought diligently to stop directors' inspections. And I know this personally because I was legal counsel to two PNB members who were trying to get that absolute privilege established. So, folks, let's remember what's been going on here. When people start attacking this board majority, take a look back. I mean, this board refused to tell WBAI on a motion to evaluate their manager 3 years ago. Not this majority, the majority of the people who are saying this majority is bad. Well, folks, history is going to show that we have had tyranny of the majority at KPFA for some time, previously on the PNB. I mean, I know Robert's rules. I'm a lawyer. I know what's fair. I know due process. I fight for that every day for people. And I have been sickened by what I've seen in the last 2 or 3 years of the way chairs of this board have you know, violated everything and rules and just basic tyranny of the majority. And I want to thank all of you for trying to make that change and just ask you all to, whatever you do, don't copy what happened before you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next person, the next few people are Linda Zeiss. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And then Henry Norv, and Tracy Rosenberg, then Brian Edwards Tinkert, and Clayton Leander.
I'm not Lil Hill, and I have been told I have a squeaky voice, which is obnoxious, which I agree I do, and everybody in my family does, and don't come to my house because we're all very loud. You have to wear earplugs. Aside from that, I want to speak to the issue of the lawsuit, the famous, infamous, the Mitch Cohen lawsuit, I think it's referred to. And I'm told it cost the foundation $100,000, which is false. They have not paid $100,000 for it. And the issue is transparency. And the issue is, who is our community? These words get thrown around. Community. Who is it? What is it? Transparency of what? The voters, the members? Tony Riddle does not have a list of who are the staff. He doesn't have a list of the listeners. He doesn't have a list of anyone. And neither does anyone else except those who are complaining about the lawsuit. And the lawsuit basically is saying, we want to know who was eligible, who voted, what's going on, and we still want to know, even though I have a squeaky, obnoxious voice.
Thank you. All
right. Thank you.
The next person is Henry Knorr.
Hi. Hi, I'm Henry Knorr. Thank you for being here and listening to all of us. I'm a member of Listener Rep on the KPFA LSB. I wasn't planning to speak when I came here today, but when I heard the little discussion earlier about the question of collaborative, fair, and respectful programming decisions, I felt the need to speak up. I want to just bring up one little example because not necessarily the most important, but I think it's revealing. I'm, in addition to being on the board, I'm an active political activist. I like to do demonstrations and organize them and stuff. KPFA doesn't have any real system for organizers of political events like that, rallies and demonstrations, to get on the air. We have very elaborate rules about calendar events and community PSAs, public service announcements, that require that the sponsoring group be a 501c3. They have to submit things 3 weeks in advance. Various other restrictions. Nobody can tell me where these come from. They are often inappropriate. I really got motivated about this back in 2006 when the U.S. Congress was considering the Military Commissions Act, one of the most grotesque pieces of legislation in the sordid history of this country. If you don't know, it's legalized torture, essentially. I'm part of a group called Act Against Torture. We decided to call demonstration at the offices of Nancy Pelosi and Senators Boxer and Feinstein. We couldn't get it on the air because we didn't call it 3 weeks in advance because the damn bill wasn't even introduced 3 weeks in advance. Like everything else, if you have a friend at KPFA, then you can get your thing announced on your friend's program. But there's no systematic mechanism.
15 seconds.
Okay. I'll just say that I introduced something on the board. It took 8 months. It finally passed unanimously. That was in October 2007 to try to correct this thing. Management has done absolutely nothing to implement that motion. And we've got again, a small example, but it reflects a very large problem that other people from KPFA have referred to before, of management simply not responding to the community and not paying attention to the bylaws. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Tracy Rosenberg.
Oh, hi, everyone. I'm Tracy Rosenberg, KPFA LSB, 2006 collection supervisor at KPFA, and a couple of other things. I want to make two quick points about the unpaid staff voter rolls, which were the bane of my existence during my time as the collection supervisor. The two quick points are, firstly, this idea about limiting collectives to a certain number of votes, 3 or 4, it's a little pernicious. The reality is that you're entitled to a vote if you work the hours. We don't, for example, say if you donate $250, you can have 10 times the votes of someone who donates $25. We don't say that if you work for a daily program, you have 5 times the vote of someone who works for a weekly program. We say one person, one vote. Nice and easy. That's the way it's supposed to be. One person, one voter, one vote. I want to point to what Kathy Davis said earlier because I think it's really, really important, and I appreciate her for saying this, is it's an issue of documentation, and we've been waiting 7 years to have some mode of documentation. So what I'd like to propose is an online database where the chief producers on a show can log the hours of all the unpaid workers on their show once a month. So there's a paper trail for unpaid staff organizations and station managers to track. And there's a paper trail for election personnel to adjudicate when they find themselves in the middle of one of those fun, he said, she said, kind of disputes. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next person on the list is Brian Edwards Tinkert.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian. I'm a staff representative on the KPFA board. When I walked in, I saw apparently one of my colleagues at KPFA kind of tearing into our managers there. I say apparently because I've not seen him at a staff meeting in the 5 years I've been on staff, which is not to say he doesn't work there. I know he works there, and I know he does good work. But the people who seem to have the most complaints with our managers seem to be the ones who have the least contact with them. And I think we have a dangerous tendency in Pacifica to tear into anyone we perceive to be in a position of power without doing a fair assessment of their actual work. I would submit to you, and I've been through four managers at KPFA, that the general manager and interim program director we have now, while I've not agreed with everything they've done, nor how they've done everything they've done, stand head and shoulders above the people we've had before in terms of competence, in terms of how well they've run the station. I mean that financially. I mean that in terms of programming. And sometimes to do those things, they've done unpopular things. A manager who wanted to curry political influence when faced with two open time slots would put their best friends on the air and ask them to support them from there. Our managers, confronted with two open time slots, put on Sonali Kolhatkar from KPFK, who does not work at our station, can't vote at our station, can't politic for our friends at our station, but produces a damn good show down there, and Doug Henwood from WBAI, because I cannot think of a more important historic time to have a left economic show on our air than right now. Those shows have built audience in their time slots. They've become significant and substantial fundraisers. They've added to the success our management has had bringing fresh talent into our morning show, which is now a bigger fundraiser on air than Democracy Now!, recruiting Mitch Jezerich from New York to come in as executive producer, bringing Amy Allison on as co-host, taking the initiative to set up the Winter Soldier hearings that aired last spring network-wide and literally took our online listening statistics off the charts because we were the only broadcaster in the nation willing to air gavel-to-gavel coverage of what was happening there. Please focus on the big picture. I think we have people here who are taking us forward. It doesn't mean we can't be critical, but let's stay comrades.
Okay.
Thank you.
The next and last person I have on the list is Clayton Leander.
Última palabra. I get the last word finally. So, good afternoon, everybody, colleagues and board. My name is Clayton Leander. Just to give you a brief background, I served as a board member of an organization of the Alliance for Community Media. Some of you know that our previous executive director was none other than Tony Riddle. We got great work out of Tony Riddle. Why? Because we had policies. Our board had policies on which to operate. Our organization is composed of about 1,000 community media centers across the United States, of two of which I personally served as executive director. In each of our stations, we had policies. When it came also to working with policies and governance, we were very clear about the lines in which we were to operate. The board understood that they had to govern by policy, and staff is to manage and even-handedly administer that policy. Without policies, you have a situation where a board tends to want to micromanage, and then you have a situation where staff likes to rule by executive fiat. We're seeing this not only at KPFA, we've seen this at other stations. I've been asking for over a year and a half now, where are the published policies that govern not only our personnel policies, programming policies and guidelines, security, training, access, comprehensive policies. This is a no-brainer. If you go to any of the community media centers, go to the Berkeley Community Media down the street, Vallejo Community Media, Sacramento, San Francisco, South Bay, Gilroy, you walk in any one of those places and you will find policies. Concerning programming, we had, for example, the delicate situation in our station.
15 seconds.
We had to exercise First Amendment Forum, in which everybody in the community, regardless of their political orientations, were all
allowed access to our channels. So we've had to take a mature approach to how we work with our community and have them be a part of the station and the dialogue. I'm going to submit, thank you. I'm going to submit later on the lists for those of you on the list a quote from Lou Hill regarding unpaid staff and the participation of listeners as a vital part of your community stations. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you.
We are out of time for public comment, and we'll be resuming our open meeting of the Pacifica National Board.